Okay, we are on, I believe, page 173, 174 in the Hebrew. It is, so the first one in the line is Gideha, a little bit above the halfway point in the page. And in the English, it's yet these 600,000 particular souls. We have been talking about the effect that mitzvahs have in the world. And we're going to get some books over here.
Here.
Take this. You know, so we were talking in previously the importance of what the mitzvahs do, and the ultimate realization of what the mitzvahs do is when Mashiach comes with Tchiyas HaMeisim and the removal of the spirit of impurity from the world. That this is accomplished now, little bits at a time. This is actually the last things that he said, by the refraining from engaging in the prohibitions of the 365 negative commandments, because a person who involves himself in them, causes the godly vitality to be drawn into the forces of evil and make the forces of evil stronger. Ki klalus Yisrael shehem shishim riboy mishameis pratiyos, because generally the Jewish people, that they are 600,000 individual souls, hem klalus hachayis shel klalus ha'olam, they provide the vitality, generally speaking, for the world. Since we know that the world is bereishis bara, that for the two beginnings was the world created. For the Jewish people who are called Reishis, a beginning, and for the Torah, which is called Reishis. So the whole reason why the world exists is for the Jewish people to be doing Torah and mitzvahs. For those of you who have little kids or little kids at heart, so there is one of these kiddie videos called Agent Emes. Mm. I'm mentioning it over here. Agent Emes HaKadosh, he calls it, they're holding a tiny class. But the second episode, the plot is that the bad guy captures all the rabbis, all the school teachers, and so none of the kids are learning Torah, and the world begins to crumble. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the plot. That's the idea. Yes, and that would it be, because we know that, what is it, when Hashem went around by Matan Torah, and offered the Torah to all the other nations, and all the other nations said no. So Hashem, so to speak, took a deep breath and then asked the Jewish people. Because if the Jewish people were going to say no, we don't want the Torah, then that would mean that there is no purpose for the world to exist, and Hashem would have stopped creating the world. So it's a big responsibility on our part too. Because remember last time we talked about that there used to be these groups that were up in the middle of the night in Europe learning to keep the world going, so it shouldn't fall off its axis. Mm-hmm. If that be the case, then what you can basically do is you can divide the world into 600,000 parts. And then each of us is responsible for one of those parts.
Yes.
Now, there are, in the world, 14 million Jews. So what are you talking, 600,000? So there is an opinion that, as far as the number of souls that exist, in a klalus Yisrael, and generally talking about the Jewish people, there's 600,000 souls. And each one of those general souls breaks up into 600,000 sparks.
Right.
So that means that each individual spark is given 1/600,000th of a 600,000th as their portion to purify. So that makes the life a little easier. Makes it, you know, your portion, how much you have to rectify, that much easier. And how much is 1/36 billionth of the world? How big is it? If you'd like to take a guess, it's dalet amos.
So if you divide
4 cubits. If you divide the surface area of the world by 36 billion.
So then the population might eventually reach 36 billion?
There is that opinion. Well, you're talking Jews. That's when Mashiach comes. The other opinion is that all these different souls, when they come back and there's this resurrection, what's going to happen is, what are you going to have? Is you're going to have 600,000 Jews. Which that makes, that simplifies things as to who are you married to, like in all the previous lifetimes, in this lifetime, and etc. And the various complications of relationships, if we're all just included in, you know, like this person's an elbow of this soul, and this person's a solar plexus of another soul. You know, the other option is that there'll be 36 billion souls, and every body that you were in will come back. And was there a problem with your soul enlivening a couple of bodies? Nah. Because after all, what is a soul anyway? It's not limited by space. So your soul could also enliven. So it's the opposite theory. How is it going to work? Well, it says Ela ve'ela divrei Elokim chayim. Both of them are true. So we'll just have to wait and see how Mashiach settles this one. If there'll be 600,000, if there'll be 36 billion, you know, so. So, but the thing that he wants to say over here is, we have our Dalet Amos. Dalet Amos is a colloquialism. It means you're four cubits. What does it mean? It means, when someone says, mind your own business, it means you're Dalet Amos, your cubits. Okay, the space that you take up. And that means everything that comes into your life in the course of your lifetime. That's your Dalet Amos. So Dalet Amos is not just a square measure, it's a figure of speech, meaning everything that you're responsible for.
Come in contact with.
Right. Right. So you have a responsibility, we have a responsibility of utilizing everything that we come in contact with to somehow make the world a better place. And he says, and what is it dependent upon? Your godly soul really still wants to just do the godly thing. It's not really interested in doing this world business. So where is who is the what part of us is really in charge of elevating the world is our animal soul. He calls it here, because it sounds, the animal soul has a negative connotation, he calls it here the Nefesh HaChayun, it's the vitalizing soul. But it's the same thing, Ein HaHach. Mm-hmm. You have a question, Saul?
No.
So why? Because it's a soul and relates to spirituality, but it's an animal and relates to physical. The godly soul is just total spiritual. Don't get me involved with this physical stuff. Not interested. The animal soul, and now, which is enlivening the body, so that when you wiggle your finger, it's your animal soul that's causing your finger to wiggle, is really that part of us which is responsible for making the world a better place. Especially in us, that us normal people, not those tzaddikim types. Because by the tzaddik, it says that what is a tzaddik? When a tzaddik says I, so a tzaddik is the godly soul. When a person says I, what is it? What is it saying the I? It's the animal soul.
Animal soul, yeah.
Okay, as we see, for example, how do I prove this? Is we say every morning, we say in morning brachas, Elokai Hashem Hashanasata Bi Teherihi. Hashem, the soul that you put in me is pure. Okay, so there's me and then I have this soul. What is soul are we talking about that's pure? Is a godly soul. What am I talking about that was put in me? Was the animal soul. By a tzaddik. Okay, a tzaddik says a bracha too. But we see that, for example, he quotes over here, the Hillel would say, would stop his lesson and say, excuse me, I got to take care of the poor one. Meaning I have to go feed my body. He says there's me, and then there's my body that I schlep around my body wherever I go. Okay. Bahalasa Dahainu. B'mashim mishtamish ba'olam hazeh l'tzorach gufa v'nafsha ha'chayonis la'avodas Hashem. He says it quite clearly. What is it that we're doing? Is everything that we are using in this world for the sake of our body and animal soul is being used for a Avodas Hashem? Kigayin achila v'shtiyah v'domehem. He says, for example, eating and drinking, v'dira and your house, v'kol kli tashmishav and all of your possessions, all of that has to be geared for Avodas Hashem. Says the Rebbe, there's a famous sikha about setting up a house. When a person gets married and sets up a house, so he says the Rebbe says that it has to be the house has to be apparent as soon as you walk in that this is a Jewish house. And the Rebbe says, not from the mezuzah or on the door or the books from the shelf do you see that it's a Jewish house. Because it's an obvious thing. It has to be from the entire atmosphere of the house, such that the fork and the spoon and the plate are permeated with this Jewishness of it. Because the Jewish house, this we call a bayis nemen b'yisrael, is that expression which is a bracha which is given unto newlyweds, that they should make a bayis nemen b'yisrael, an everlasting edifice in Israel, is a providing an atmosphere in the house. El shishim rivei neshamas pratiyas elu hein shorsha kol shorash mechalek l'shishim rivei netzutzes. As he says, but these 600,000 souls, there's 600,000 general souls, and they're divided into 600,000 specific souls. Ve'elah and shorsha shorsha mechalek l'shishim rivei netzutzes. Shekol nitzis hu neshama achas, and every one of those little sparks is one soul. Ve'kein ve'nefesh ve'ruach v'chol oylem ma'arba oylem asetzilus b'riya yitzira v'nasiya, and then you can multiply that by three, because each soul is divided in this world into nefesh, ruach, and neshama. The nefesh, you're familiar with nefesh, ruach, and neshama. That those concepts, there's three different levels of soul that the Alter Rebbe talks about. Okay, nefesh corresponding to action and ruach corresponding to emotion and speech and neshama corresponding to intellect.
And there's two of the nefesh?
The whole thing is called nefesh. You have nefesh, ruach, and neshama.
So nefesh elokis and nefesh bahamis is
referred to. Nefesh elokis and nefesh bahamis are divided into different parts. Okay? Generally, when he talks about it, he's talking about...
Nefesh
Bahamas is also divided into parts. Yes, it also has speaking part, the feeling part, the acting part, the thinking part, the Chaya and Yechida.
Does that be applicable to Nefesh Bahamas?
There's a discussion. Chaya for sure. There's a fourth part of the Neshama that the Alter Rebbe talks about. And actually two more parts, Chaya and Yechida. Which Chaya and Yechida, he doesn't talk about them because you really have no control over them. You can control even what you're thinking, but you can't control what you want. You can control if you're going to have it,
right. But
you can't control what you want. Either you want it or you don't want it. If you get it or not remains the product of your environment and your abilities. If you're going to act on your wants, what you like and what you don't like, you also have no control over.
Yeah,
exactly. And then Yechida, so I saw in one place, probably about 6 months ago, that mentioned, and I'm learning Chassidus for 35 years, so I came across one place that mentioned something about this level of Yechida, and also in the Nefesh of Bahamas. Which to me it didn't seem like it should be, but
the
word Yechida, because it comes from Klippa. Yechida is the plug into the essence of the soul with the essence of Hashem. So I was always under the impression that the animal soul didn't have an essence which was connected to Hashem. But there was this one place that talked about it that said, yeah, well listen, when you have Mesiris Nefesh, and a person is suffering martyrdom, it's still his animal soul's involved as well. Because if we're up to the animal soul, the animal soul would say, get me the heck out of here. I'm not doing his martyrdom stuff. So you have to somehow convince the godly soul has to convince the animal soul that this is the proper thing to do, is allow himself to become a martyr. So, and he says that relates to the idea that a Jew can never be separated from Hashem, even also would apply, I wish I remember where I saw it, to the animal soul as well.
But Tzaddikim almost spoil them. They're still, if they didn't convert their ikar, their deeds, is still klipa.
You're talking about Chassidei Umos Ha'olam?
Yeah.
Yes.
So could Chassidei Umos Ha'olam be functioning at higher
I don't know. I don't know. Chaya for sure. Non-Jew has Chaya. I don't know about there's like shadowy levels of Yechidah somehow, because everything comes from the essence of Hashem. You know, so the most unclean klipa
without converting is, I mean,
they would be considered then from the righteous of the world to come, and they would have a place in the world, the righteous of the nations, and they would have a place in the world to come, yes.
Is that, so that doesn't necessitate that they tapped into some higher...
I have no idea. With me, once you start getting out of the realm of body, I kind of don't know what's going on. I can only guess.
Like an international society, international consciousness, so even a goy through like meditative practice could reach the same, you know, okay, you got Kabados is everywhere, but you got, you know, different other societies that have places everywhere, and that somehow those people tapped into the same, and they just...
I don't know.
I think it's more of an issue of their, maybe they're recognizing their neshama, whether they realize it or not, their neshama is trying to connect with...
Maybe, right. Maybe there are some people, but listen, there are some people, people come to me all the time and say, I want to convert. And I tell them, first off, about try the 7. Okay, if that's not enough, then come back to me. Okay, and there are many people who, once I tell them, listen, I got a place in heaven and all I got to do is 7 mitzvahs. And, you know, I'll call them back like a year later or so, you know, and they'll say, I'm fine doing what I'm doing, you know. Thank you very much, Rabbi. Have a nice day. You know, so, but there are many who say 7's not enough. So that's a whole different, part. That's not what you're talking about.
Why is it goy recognizes the truth of Torah, but decides not to convert, and they remain a tzaddik almost all the
way? If they remain, so then their chayas comes from klipas noga, yes.
Is it possible for somebody to...
And their souls will be elevated to the level of Kedusha when Mashiach comes, because there's no such thing as klip anymore at that point. Because klipas noga can be elevated. Yes.
Are there tzaddikim amongst the goyim? Like, can they?
Sure.
Can they?
Yes.
Tzaddikim almost all of them.
Yes.
Okay, but I mean, how do they get there? How do they? Are they born that way? I mean,
generally, tzaddikim are born that way. For the most part, yeah. Do we have any examples? Would you call Mother Teresa one of the tzaddikim of the...
Doesn't go against the Klal and Perkiavos.
It depends on what you call Catholicism. Is Catholicism idolatry? Because she's a Catholic, after all. You know, so... Yeah, I'm not going there. You know, I'm not going to start putting labels on people how righteous or not righteous they were.
Well, I mean, just the idea that somebody can just give of them, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just be, you know, a pure chassidic person.
We have no idea, you know, what they are, what they're not. I mean, because we don't even know who tzaddikim that are Jewish, who they are.
Yeah, but you have more likely guess than others. I mean,
listen, there are a lot of people in this world. Not a lot of people. There are over Who knows? Who knows? When you're talking about hidden tzaddikim, so hidden tzaddikim take all kinds of shapes. Excuse me, but you have 120 people who call themselves Rebbe. They have this title, Rebbe. And are they all tzaddikim? I don't know. Only they themselves, and they themselves know? I don't know that either. Rob, if you recall, said, I'm a Beinoni, because who's going to start? You know, the rule is tap yourself on the back and say, yeah, I'm a tzaddik, you're not.
If they're running a moistos of Torah and shuls and davening and mitzvahs.
Well, congratulate them, but they could still be a rasha, yes.
But, you know, that doesn't make it more likely to be a tzaddik
than a
random guy off the street.
It's not for us to say.
You say it's not even a sermon.
My students think I'm a Mashiach, you know, achen vei on them, you know, so. We have no idea. People don't come with scorecards, you know, or flashing signs that tell us what they are, you know. So, and then you have to multiply that by 4. Okay, because you got, the 4 worlds also, as the souls are manifest themselves in. So, B'chol Olam Arba Olam Zahar L'Bibri Yisir Asiyah. V'chol Nitz is Lo Yer Lo Olam Azeh, Av Shehi Yerid Gedele V'vchin Is Golos Mamash Kiyim Shehi Yitzadik Gomer Oivet Hashem B'yira V'av V'Rav V'Tainugim Lo Yegi Olam Ailasa D'Vei Kosa V'Hashem V'Dechila V'Rechim V'Terem Yerdos Lo Olam Azeh Chomri Lo Minei V'Lo Miksasim. He says, no, I love his punctuation. Anyway, there is no soul, even the tzaddikim, that is going to come into this world and have to go through the processing, and they're going to wind up in this world exactly the same way like they were in the in before their soul came into their bodies, even by tzaddikim. Okay, because everybody, even you take a soul that has to go through the processing, to get into the soul, into the body, requires some sort of processing. So whatever soul it happens to be, the soul will always be able to function better if it wasn't the godly soul that it is, would appreciate godliness, if it wasn't limited by a body. That's what he talks about in section 27 of Igeres HaKodesh. That a tzaddik has greater influence on this physical world after he passes away, because he's not limited by a three-dimensional body. His soul's able to do a whole lots more. Okay, love and mixasa. Ve'ain arach v'dimyan b'neihem klal. K'nayda l'chol, as is known to everybody. L'chol maskil, to every intellectual, excuse me. Kanoda Lakal, he's limiting it here. It's not known to everybody. It's known only if you think about it. Shehaguf ain't a yachalis bill. He says kulu. It says the body can only just stand so much. He puts an etc. over there because he really doesn't want to say it. Dalto Eber was very sensitive to expressions. And like, for example, he couldn't write the whole world at Tzilus. He couldn't write the word at Tzilus on a piece of paper. The world of emanation. He would go Aleph Tzadik Yud, and that's it. At that point, he would start freaking out. He couldn't take anymore. He would just put up a little. So the whole time, you'll never see the word Atzilus. It's always Atzi. Bria, Yetzira, that's okay. He could deal with that. But as soon as he started Atzilus, see, it says that he says, so we hear it now. There's also a general rule, this is, goes for Gemara, and goes for all the learning and generally, that when you have a word, when you have the word kulu, which means etc. So kulu means etc., don't worry about the rest. When it says vichulu and etc., so you have to know what the rest of the thing is talking about. Okay, it's the same thing also with a pasuk. With a pasuk there's a difference. Kulu means is a saying from the rabbis. It's someplace in the Gemara, Medrash, or someplace like that. Geimer is from a pasuk. So if it says Geimer, which he usually has Gimel Vav, Geimer means etc., you don't have to worry about the rest of the pasuk. V'Geimer, if it has a Vav, and etc., so then you should know what the rest of the pasuk is saying as well. Okay, so it says a goof ain't a yachalis bol el yiridosul elam hazel his lavish goof and nefesh b'chayunis who kidei l'taknam levad. So what's the soul coming into this world, coming into a body and an animal soul, is to fix them. Ulafrida maharash al sholish klipus atameis, and to distinguish the soul and the animal soul and the body from total klipa. To get us away from the muck that comprises most of the world. It's referred to all over the place that this world that we live in is rubik kule ra, is for the most part, that doesn't mean like 51%, it means for a whole lot more, fits into the category of shalosh klipas atameis, of unelevatable klipa. And were it not for the godly soul, so where would our souls be? It'd be stuck in that. So the godly soul's purpose in coming into the body and the animal soul is in order to elevate our body and animal soul out of the muck and the mire. Al yedei shmiras shesal loisesa ve'anfehen. And it's specifically apparent through a person adhering to and not transgressing the 365 prohibitions, as we talked about before, that in his chapter 4, it's talked about, and he mentioned it in the last week's time that we got together, that when a person transgresses a commandment, one of the 365 prohibitions, it causes godliness, which was flowing directly to them, to be redirected from them into the forces of evil.
So it just Like it just nullifies it, or it just...
No, it gives them strength. This is how the gods, this is how the forces of evil derive their nurture, is specifically the direct way to keep the forces of evil going is when a Jew transgresses the Torah. What he's doing is he's unplugging the pipeline from Hashem to him and sticking it into the forces of evil, and they hand him the scraps, the leftovers, to keep him going so that he can perpetuate and keep doing more things wrong. That's why it says, a vera gevereris avera. In Perkei Avos, you have a mitzvah, an avera leads to doing another avera. Because once the forces of evil have a chap on the guy, they're not giving it off so fast. We got you leading already our way, into our direction. Good, we're going to keep you. That's why it is that the easy path always looks like the path of least resistance is always the wrong way. There's always something wrong with it. Illegal, immoral, fattening, etc. Because what it does is that the forces of evil are presenting themselves such to make it look that this is the nice way, the good way, the comfortable way, so that we'll get involved with it, chas v'shalom, and supply them with more nurture and more nurture and more nurture, and any parasite, you can't, there's no such thing as a parasite that says, okay, I had enough.
Yeah,
right. Okay, I could make a joke about a brother-in-law over here, but I'm not going to. Anyway, so and what does the forces of evil do in return? They give crumbs, but they give nice crumbs. Because if all he got was total second rate stuff, the guy would say, What did I do this for? Yeah. This is what I get out of the deal. No, I want a bigger piece.
Nice crumbs.
So he gives it a nice piece, a nice shtickle. So why? In order to encourage it to do more things wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Him to encourage it. And by doing that, when a person is actively not engaged in the 365 prohibitions, what does that do? That cuts off the life force to the forces of evil, redirects the godliness back to the individual, so that now the godliness is coming to them to effect that they be able to purify their portion in the world. And to bind and to unite his portion of the world with the light of the infiniteness of Hashem. There's an expression that Hashem takes spirituality and turns it into physicality, and we have to take the physical and turn it into the spiritual. We have to take it back to the place where it goes. There was a chassid of the Mittler Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek. His name was Hillel Paritcher. Mm. He was the Tzemach Tzedek called him half a chassid. He says, Hillel Paritcher is a half a chassid. And he said, because the other half is a Rebbe. This is the type of person he is. He was a person who was in charge of basically the entire Ukraine, which is a big chunk of change. Because what had happened, the Alter Rebbe and others had tremendous influence. The Alter Rebbe was that people should leave, Jews should leave the cities and go get tracts of land and farm and live on subsistence farming. That was a big thing in Alter Rebbe. Alter Rebbe was very much against city life. He said the overcrowding, it's not good for people, it's not normal. They should go live out where they can see the sky and they should be able to relate to Hashem through their work. You know, this was what the Alter Rebbe encouraged. We see how many Lubavitchers are farmers nowadays. You're not getting me on a farm, sorry. My idea of roughing it is sleeping with one pillow. So the Tzemach Tzedek sent this Hillel Paritcher as to be like the circuit rabbi. And he gave him with all kinds of stuff, you know, there's all kinds of stories but his mission was, what was his mission? His mission was to, plant physical and harvest spiritual. That was what he was supposed to do. One of the things he was supposed to do was he was supposed to collect money for the Rebbe's household. But in the meantime, okay, to go in and ask these farmers for their nickels, because these guys didn't have much more than that. But in the meantime, he's supposed to learn with people, and he's supposed to chazer chassidus and arouse people and act as a mashpia. Yeah, exactly. An influence on them. There's a story I just saw this week about Hillel Parcher. As a matter of fact, a couple came, a childless couple came. They've been married for 10 years. They didn't have any kids. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, 10 years, no kids. You're supposed to get divorced, which Baruch Hashem, people don't do that anymore. And they came to Hillel that he should officiate a divorce for them. And he said, I agree on condition that we go to Lubavitch and the Tzemach Tzedek sits on the Beis Din. He says, the Rebbe has to be on part of the Beis Din. To officiate on this divorce. So they agreed, and they traveled from Kherson to Lubavitch, which probably took several weeks. And they got there, and the Tzemach Tzedek was the officiator, of course, at the Beis Din, and he asked, okay, so what's the deal? Why do you want to get divorced? So they told him, 10 years, and we didn't have any kids, and it says in Shulchan Aruch that we're supposed to get divorced after 10 years if we don't have any kids. So Tzemach Tzedek turned to Hillel and said to him, Reb Hillel, how do you paskin? And he said, I paskin they should have a kid. And the Tzemach Tzedek said, I agree with you. And Reb Hillel said, if that's the psak din, you have to write it down. So the Tzemach Tzedek wrote down that so and so and so and so will have a child within a year. And they had a kid that year. And they lived happily ever after. Okay. Anyway, so so what happens is that now when we're utilizing things for the sake of heaven, for the L'shem Shemayim, so then they can become, we talked about this before, incorporated into chapter 35, 36, incorporated in the light of the infiniteness of Hashem, and we're taking the spiritual, the physical thing, and turning it into a spiritual entity, and that's done when we are actually physically doing something with them. If a person, doesn't do anything wrong his whole entire life, did not transgress any of the 365 prohibitions, but he didn't do any mitzvahs, he didn't do any mitzvahs.
But if he didn't transgress, he did mitzvahs.
He didn't.
Because it's a mitzvah not to transgress.
It doesn't say any plays, thou shalt not do averus.
I hear you.
But okay.
It says you shouldn't murder. You shouldn't commit adultery.
Right, he didn't commit adultery. He didn't do any of that.
He didn't do any of that. So the not doing is a doing.
But he didn't honor the Shabbos.
Ah, I see.
The guy never made Kiddush in his life. He never was Mechol Shabbos, but he never made Kiddush in his life.
I hear.
Okay, so he only did half a job. Okay, so he wasn't giving any type of life into the forces of evil, but he wasn't elevating the world to the levels of holiness either.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, such a thing is impossible.
That's a unique person.
Yeah. I keep Shabbos, but I never say Kiddush. Yeah, right.
I do, I go to shul, but I don't daven.
My collar is facing straight. This is not the confession hour. Sorry. Because why is it that he's not doing anything? It's because the godly soul is perfect just the way it is. You're not doing the mitzvahs because of the godly soul. The godly soul is adversely affected when a person does something wrong. And it's true, yes, when a person does a mitzvah utilizing a physical thing, his godly soul does get a charge. You know, a person who's doing mitzvah, their godly soul is much stronger than a person who's not doing any mitzvahs.
Yeah.
Because they are getting that impetus from the connections which are being made from their doing the mitzvahs. The godly soul, did not need to come into this world. And the only reason why it did come into this world was to draw down the infiniteness of Hashem into this physical world to fix it. This is the same thing, the reason why Hashem took us into Golus and Hashem went with us into Golus, in order that the sparks which are hidden throughout the world can be elevated. It says clearly in the Gemara, the reason why the Jews are scattered throughout the world is in order to cause converts, to find those neshamas that are stuck and hidden someplace, and to get them to realize, hey, listen, you know, there is this Judaism stuff, and get them involved. Because the Jews wouldn't be wherever they would be if a person never heard about Judaism, never saw a Jew, then they wouldn't do it.
I read somewhere, I forget if it's Talmud or Midrash, said that the Goyim will be held culpable for not converting to Judaism because they will have heard about Judaism from converts of their own. But there'll be enough converts that
I'd like to see it, because not everybody is expected to convert to Judaism.
I have to look it up. The mashma is that every goy will have at some point have at least met another goy to Judaism.
Don't know.
Even the person.
I'd like to see it.
Even
I'd like to see
met
it.
A Jew, they've met a goy.
Because it's not expected, because some people are not Jewish.
You
don't have the godly soul in them.
But no non-Jew is so far disconnected from the source that they never met a non-Jew that converted.
What's that got to do with it?
If you go to like Alaska,
it says the convert, the converts, if they don't have a godly soul,
like
they're not going
to
go there anyway. Doesn't matter who they meet.
I don't know.
You don't know.
You know, you have the same family. Siblings don't have to convert because somebody converted in the family.
But there's no such thing as someone who hasn't heard of Judaism.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. But there are just some people that are just so far away from it. And so the whole concept of converting is just like, you know, so far removed. It's not even, it's not relevant to them. Okay, I know people that if you had told them that they would have to convert to Judaism would probably throw up. I mean, you know, they're just it's just ad nauseum. You know, oh, what? Human mashal. Okay, yeah. I'd like to see it inside.
Present company excluded.
Okay. Anyway, this is actually a good place to stop. We're on page 96. What are we on the bottom numbers? Is that on the
175.
Bezei Yuvan Mashahiflug results. We're going to take it from next week. God willing.